I tell my team is, of course, first of all, the positioning of a Gen AI is as a growth lever, not as a job elimination lever. I think that's taken for granted. But what I tell my team is, hey, you will not lose your job to Gen AI, but you might lose it to somebody who uses Gen AI better than you, so watch it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Stay Cognizant. Today, I'm really pleased to have with us Alexa Samuel and Abhay Kukreja to have a conversation about some of what's happening with Cognizant in the realm of generative AI. And before we dive into our conversation today, I'd love it if each of you could take a minute to introduce yourself, talk a little bit about your role at Cognizant, and really specifically how you influence our approach to artificial intelligence and generative AI. Abhay, you want to go first?
Sure. Thanks, Pamela. Thank you for having me on this podcast. I sit in the CTO office under the corporate IT CIO office, which is run by Neil Ramaswamy. As a part of my remit, I handle the cloud management office as well as the integration from an IT M&A point of view. In early 2024, when our CEO Ravi was talking about all the aspects of AI and generative AI, there was a need to get a group of people together to figure out how do we do things responsibly. So I started managing and put together a cross-functional work group for responsible AI so that effectively we could implement things for AI and Gen AI in a responsible manner. I happened to pick up that role, and since then that role has evolved into many other things, not just from a responsible AI perspective, but also from the perspective of how do we scale AI and Gen AI, how do we put observability into it, and how do we identify the tooling for it. So I would say it's living, breathing, and doing everything related to AI and generative AI for enterprise and corporate IT.
Thanks, Pam. It's nice to join a podcast with Abhay and you. Now, to keep it brief, I do a lot of things, but I'm the Senior Vice President and Head of Global Delivery Excellence at Cognizant. Basically, it is about setting in place processes, methods, practices to ensure that there are sufficient guardrails for the projects that we execute in the company, and also lead and run a robust risk management approach to ensure that client interests are taken care of, Cognizant interests are protected in the projects that we deliver. Given our size, that's a complex job. I also am responsible for product and service quality, certifications, client satisfaction, and things like that that encompass delivery governance. That's my role, Pam.
Great. And, you know, this is obviously an exciting time to talk to both of you about this because we've just become the first in our industry, Cognizant has, to achieve ISO 42001 accredited certification for AI management systems, which is a pretty big achievement, especially when you consider everything that you said, the complexity of our size, the types of clients we engage with, and really the complexity of what it takes and the amount of tools and processes that are required to get that certification. And I wonder if you can share, Alexis, from your perspective, why is it important for us to be certified in this way? You know, what value do we get from it? What value do our clients get from it? And what happens next? You know, once you get something like this, it's not like that's the finish line.
Sure, Pam. You know, I'm sure by now it's clear to everybody, all your listeners on this podcast, the amount of investment and pivoting that Cognizant has done on Gen AI. Mm-hmm. Gen AI and AI systems are at the front and center of our growth strategy. That's not something new, and that's quite well noted in the industry at large. Now, if and when we develop Gen AI solutions, and AI management system solutions, it's important that they are developed in a manner that is reliable, scalable, ethical, responsible, and is efficient at the point of use for the clients. Mm-hmm. Towards this, Abhay's office, my office, and a lot of other teams in Cognizant legal teams and others have worked together to come up with processes, policies, methods, templates, metrics that underpin development of AI system solutions, including GenAI and otherwise, that are ethical and scalable. Now, we wanted to make sure that our approach is one aligned with international standards, aligned with upcoming regulations. So as we were doing this, ISO came up with their globally first standard, standard of its kind actually, that governs the, that sort of covers the entire gamut of AI management, AI system development. Now, the timing was right, so we decided that we needed an, it is good to have an external validation of both adequacy of our processes and the efficacy of how we develop and apply them. And that's why we got DNV in and got certified. The fact that we were the first to do it globally is an additional, you know, cherry on the cake that we are very happy about. Now, coming to your second question, what does it do to Cognizant? What does it do to clients? Let me talk about clients. What it demonstrates to the client is that here is the company, Cognizant in this case, whose methods and processes towards GenAI are assessed and certified to a global standard. That gives them confidence that we have enough, our capability is good and we have guardrails in place and we will take care of ethical development and deployment of their solutions. That's for clients. Now, as far as Cognizant is concerned, it sort of positions, especially in this space, compliance as a strategic lever till this becomes commoditized and commonplace. That is going to take a few years. And that's the advantage that we have. And for us, associates are concerned, it gives them a clean, clean set of directions to follow when they develop AI solutions. So that's what it is, Pamela, in terms of what, why we did it and what the different stakeholders of our organization get from it.
Thank you for sharing that. And I love that notion of compliance as a strategic lever, because it really puts Cognizant's perspective around the importance of responsible AI at the forefront. So I love that sentiment. And I'm wondering, though, Abe, you know, thinking about how important this is to Cognizant, how important it is to developers, to our clients, to users, there's also a lot of complexity and the regulations are constantly changing and evolving. How do you keep track of everything that's happening from a legislative perspective?
What we try to do is, there are multiple, as you pointed out, there are multiple regulations that are coming into place. US has got their Colorado Act and the California Act, which have already gone into play last August. The EU AI Act came last August and published a schedule on how they're going to approach prohibited and high-risk items, as well as there were executive orders which were signed by Biden earlier and now I think are getting rescinded by Trump with a new thing to come in place at a federal level. What all of this indicates is that there is going to be constant change before it settles down, right? What we are trying to do is work internally with our privacy teams, our legal teams, to get a better understanding of what these are and how do they truly impact the processes and the principles that we have already put in place. Now, therefore, we are continuing the activities of a working group. Over and above that, we are actually building a cross-functional working committee, which goes live with the first meeting in February of this year, where the idea is that we understand the change in regulations, understand the change to people, process, and technology, identify a plan of action around it to say, what do we need to adjust, if we need to adjust anything based on what we have put in place? And then we take that to closure. And if this means that we got to enhance our existing versions, we would do that. And we would accordingly adjust our trainings and things like that so we can keep the organization abreast with what's going on. That's currently the way we are looking at the plan.
So you started to talk a little bit about processes and policies, and I know that there are probably things that you can't share, but I wonder if now we can dive a little bit into some of the details. You know, we're a large organization, we're a complex organization, we work across a lot of locations and industries, and I wonder what you can share about how Cognizant is approaching, you know, having all of these processes and tools available to uphold our certification.
So we try to simplify the process quite a bit, right? We know that there are tons of principles and policies that are related to responsible and ethical AI and generative AI. We kept it very, very simple, and we came up with what we call the FAST principles. This is something we have shared externally as well with our clients, where F stands for fair and inclusive, A stands for accountable, S stands for safe, secure, and private, and T stands for traceable and explainable. These four principles are the underpinnings of Cognizant's approach to any kind of development cycle and program management cycle or processes that exist within Cognizant. These then form the framework under which we can develop guidelines where we can go down to our developers or our business analysts or anybody who plays a role within our ecosystem to say, what should you be adhering to from a guideline perspective to make sure that what we have developed is good for purpose, is developed responsibly and ethically, and would actually stand the test of time with respect to any kind of audit that, if it were to happen in any way, shape, or form. So the principles have guided this. Now, I'm referring to what Alexis mentioned earlier about the risk management side of it. If you look at all the policies that are in place or the recommendations from all the legal areas, it's a very risk-based system. They are always, what are you trying to implement and what is the risk of that? And based on the risk profile is where you define which principles apply and which guidelines should you adhere to be compliant, essentially. So we have been trying to look at a holistic view of this and get risk management also into the process.
Alexis, what have we learned from being on this journey that you could share with other companies like us who are thinking about initiating or evolving responsible AI practice adoption?
We had a lot of learnings. I'm sure Abe will sort of bear witness to that. One is, it's quite complex. It's new, it's quite complex, and And two, I think I lose track of serial numbers, but let me see. Second is the regulation is quite comprehensive. The ISO standard is also quite detailed, which is a good story. Third, that we learned is there are a lot of metrics that are coming up to evidence compliance to responsible AI during the course of development and during the run stage of an agent or an AI solution that are very new to the development community. I have been in this industry 30 years, but some of these metrics are not the standard software development lifecycle metrics that you and I have seen, and they're very new. So measuring them, getting people to understand them, having platforms and tools that will produce them on a reliable, repeatable, reproducible basis is also a learning. Now, have we perfected it? The answer is no. But do we know what to do, how to do, and what to do next? The answer is yes.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of getting an initiative like this up and running in an organization of our size, it is not a task for a single team. Especially RAI and ISO 42K is very multidimensional. You need human resource professionals, you need sociologists, you need lawyers, you need tech guys, the like of Abe and others. You need process guys. You need delivery. It's a multifunctional, cross-functional exercise. and not a mean task to be done by one team.
Yes.
If an organization does that, you tend to miss out critical aspects and facets of the overall RAI program. And then when it comes to, that's the design part. Now, when you come to the development and deployment part, the software development community has not experienced something like this in a very, very long time. This is a very significant change, significantly new piece of expectation from a compliance point of view. Gen AI itself is fairly new. So getting people to understand what it is, get them to appreciate the need for staying within the guardrails on responsible AI, then getting them to practice AI practices on the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a task and it is never done. Those are some of the learnings. I can go on having implemented it, at having got this going at a company of our size. But to keep it simple, those are the things that come to my mind.
I see now why you're talking about things like human resources and sociologists, because it really is, it's a change management process as much as it is a change in software development process. And I'm wondering, I want to come back to clients in a minute, but I'm wondering, how do we keep our associates who are involved in upholding these practices updated? How do we keep them trained? And I wonder too, even given the way you just talked about it, how do you keep them motivated? Because it does sound like it's such a big difference from, you know, the ways that many of them have probably worked in the past. How do you approach all of that from an internal perspective?
So I think it falls into three or four buckets the way I look at it, right? One is awareness, right?
Mm-hmm.
Two is education. Three is aligning technology. And fourth is motivating, as you're indicating, right?
Yeah.
From an awareness point of view, it's first to let people know what's out there, right? So what we did is we went ahead and created a training which became mandatory for everybody and made it a part of their ethics and compliance training. So everybody can go ahead and take that training, understand what this is. That's the first part. So that's the awareness side of it that we're talking about. Then you do persona-based education, which is, hey, I'm going to be a part of an AI Gen AI project. I'm going to be using XYZ tool. You have available trainings for that. So you educate them and bring them up to the spot that they feel comfortable working in those areas, right? And from a technology perspective, giving them the required tools to succeed in that. So if something like a code assist tool is very, very relevant going forward in the future, making sure that the developers and the technologists and the business analysts and the business partners and product owners and everybody understand what that technology can do to you and use it, is you enable that training, show them what it is and have them use it basically, right? And last piece is, I think the motivation side of it is being linked with something which is going to change the way we do everything, right? It's not just about the fact that you're implementing a project for a client. It's not the fact that I'm learning new technology, because AI and Gen AI is going to touch everybody in terms of either as a user, right? Or as a developer, or as an implementer, or as a person who is shaping the transformation of your organization going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So all of this is what leads us to believe this is how we can kind of get them ready for the future and position Cognizant accordingly as well.
I'll just add on, Pam, on,
yeah.
You know, Abhay made a point. I just want to make sure that the audience sort of latches onto it. Very early in our cycle, that is early 2024, we have incorporated RAI training, a small module, as a mandatory piece that every associate, right from the CEO down to the guy who joined yesterday, guy or girl who joined yesterday, needs to get certified on every year. So it's
mm-hmm.
part of our code of business conduct training since April, May last year. That's a huge piece. That's very important to get everybody aligned to the same tune.
Yeah.
Second, our CEO, Ravi, I mean, He's really focused on Gen AI. He talks about it externally, internally, and to leaders and to associates, and that keeps that tells everybody clearly where the lay of the land is and where the opportunity is. Now, lastly, fun bit, but partly serious, partly fun. What I tell my team is, of course, first of all, the positioning of a Gen AI is as a growth lever, not as a job elimination lever. I think that's taken for granted. But what I tell my team is, hey, you will not lose your job to Gen AI, but you might lose it to somebody who uses Gen AI better than you, so watch it.
That's a pretty good reframe, Alexis. You were talking a couple minutes ago about Ravi, and of course, yes, he does talk, you know, a lot externally, including last week at Davos about generative AI. You know, he talks about it a lot with our clients, and I'm wondering, you know, how are our clients feeling about all of this, and how do we help them really stay cognizant about risk, about how to mitigate it, about what we're doing? That feels like a whole, you know, if the associate piece is challenging and complex, I can imagine the conversations that you have with clients is as well, but from another perspective. What can you share about that ongoing, you know, conversation with our clients?
Very briefly, clients have reacted very, very positively, with an element of surprise sometimes, but very positively on us getting ourselves certified on ISO 42K. And are also happy, those are our big clients are happy that their partner or a vendor has gone ahead and got certified first in the world. So they sort of feel ratified in their decision to engage with us. That's a good story. The clients that I've spoken to are very curious to understand, hey, what does this mean? What did it entail you to get here? What did you do? Of course, most of my interactions have ended with, can you help us do it? Now, proactively, my answer to your audience is, yes, we can help.
What I think you already touched on this a little bit, Alexis. I'm curious, Abe, if there's anything you would add to, because you talked about this idea that, you know, your kind of joking comment about you're not going to lose your job to AI, but maybe somebody else is going to use it better than you. And, you know, that's the person you have to watch out for. What advice would you give to our associates who are working with AI or Gen AI projects, especially as it relates to responsible and ethical AI? I'm going to guess that part of your advice is that being up to speed on it and on these practices is critical for them to stay, you know, kind of on the cutting edge. But what kind of advice, you know, would you give to those associates?
I would say first is try and stay current, right? To me, the landscape is changing pretty quickly in many of these areas, and just trying to stay current is big. Many a times what we hear from our associates is, hey, I don't see an opportunity here. Now, what I want to really give guidance to all of them is saying that you don't have to play only one specific role within the AI, Gen AI journey. Everybody in any way, shape or form is going to get involved in some phase of this. Right? You don't have to be a person who's on the cutting edge doing the transformation. You could be the person who actually, for lack of a better word, takes that technology and actually evaluates it and say, yeah, I like this and I don't like this. So as a user, you're contributing towards it. In future, every system that you can think of being, which is going to be built, if not anything, you're going to be a user. An effective user is different than a person just using it. So how do you become an effective user? How do you raise your hand and say, I would love to be a part of that project and I would love to contribute in any capacity? There is so much that can be done from an AI and Gen AI perspective when you look at an end-to-end process. Simple things like, hey, how is it going to impact my process that I'm running? Just thinking about that, learning about it, you're actually contributing to being transformative about your own process. So there are a multitude of ways in which each and every person within the organization and outside can actually be a part of this. And we are obviously very open to having conversations with different teams and guiding them if it's needed to show them the realm of possibilities over here. Alexis, please go ahead. I know you have others.
I'll see, for an associate, for a developer or anybody who is actually working on code or a GenAI solution. Here is my thought. Nothing profound, but something that's very simple. GenAI is good. Use it effectively. But remember, the usage has to be responsible, safe, secure, scalable, fair, ethical, etc. for the end user who will get impacted by the GenAI solution, the firm, enterprise or company that will own and host and deploy that solution, and for us that provide that solution. Across these three stakeholders, there are legal issues, regulatory issues, safeguarding issues, all of which have to be taken cognizant of. So use it with care, use it responsibly, and be conscious about responsible AI as the guardrail for all the work that an individual does.
That's great advice. And I have one last question for both of you. I want to zoom out a bit and ask each of you to pick up your crystal ball. And I wonder, you know, what are you seeing as the future impact of generative AI? And really specifically, what role do you see Cognizant continuing to play in bringing it to life?
So I look at it as three phases, which almost every organization, process, technology is going to go through, right? Mm-hmm. One is going to be the adoption phase, basically when people start adopting it.
Yeah.
Second is going to be the productivity phase, as I see it. And the third is going to be the transformative phase that almost everybody is going to go through. And I think every organization will assess for themselves what, how, and when to get into which phase, depending on their maturity. Where I think Cognizant can assist is in each and every part of this phase, right?
Mm.
We have done the adoption, right? We have gone into the productive phase. We are already started looking into transformative phase from a corporate IT and our internal processes perspective. And if we can help ourselves, we can help anybody out there as well. And we know that we have created a very good, responsible and ethical AI framework for it, under which we are doing all of our development work and all of our implementation and adoption work. So we as an organization can definitely help any of our clients get from point A to point B, irrespective of where they start and where they want to end with this.
I think it'll definitely help us migrate from individual excellence to collective significance as teams, as groups, as companies, as clients. And it's here to stay. It's not something that can be switched off. So embrace it responsibly. Is what I would like to sort of leave with you and your audience. Also, I would point them to our Oxford Economics research that we have jointly done, which has some beautiful information and insight for them to get a cogent, clear view of what lies ahead.
Individual excellence to collective significance. That is a great way to end this podcast. Alexis and Abe, thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate talking with both of you.